Okay, we are going to make an attempt to study and understand the Kuzari, which requires a certain amount of appreciation of the Sefer. And what I'd like to do before we begin is give sort of a hagdama to the Sefer, the history of the Sefer, and really what it's about. First of all, the author of this of the Kuzari is a man known as Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, one of the greatest of the poets of Klal Yisrael. You know him. Among other things, he wrote Yom Shabbos in English Kayach, although I don't know if he made up the tunes that you use. Tziyain Haloi Tishali Mishlo Bishleim Asirayach is also one of his famous songs. Now, as far as dating him, what I mentioned on Shabbos was incorrect. He lived around the year 1100. Was born around the year 1100. So he actually, according to the Abarbanel, he was the father-in-law of Ibn Ezra. The Abarbanel in Parashas Kisisa refers to him as the father-in-law of Ibn Ezra, which would put him in about the 11th century. As a matter of fact, in this print of the Kuzari, there's a story in the introduction about how his daughter came to marry the Ibn Ezra. The story is that his wife was already getting all depressed about the fact they couldn't find a shidduch for their one daughter. They had one child. And he made a shvua that the next person willing to marry him, next person who's willing to marry her is the chosn. And apparently the Ibn Ezra in his youth was practiced anivus, walked around in tattered clothing and didn't advertise the fact that he's a Talmud Chacham. And he was the first one that walked in the door, that was willing to marry her. And despite his wife's protestations, the shidduch went through. And of course, the story has a happy ending because he ended up being a Talmud Chacham. It's not to suggest that this is a way of dealing with the shidduch crisis. But that's part of the story. One of the famous things about Rabbi Yehuda Halevi was that he was a tremendous Ohev Eretz Yisrael. He had a tremendous love of Eretz Yisrael. Tzion Halit Tishali is an example of one of his many poems that deals with Eretz Yisrael. And legend has it, whether it's true or not, I don't think anybody knows, but one of the most famous legends about Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is that at the end of his life, he traveled to Eretz Yisrael and came to the gates of Yerushalayim and crawled to the gates in humility. Got on his knees and crawled to the gate singing Tzion Haloi Tishali B'Shleim Asirayach. And as he did so, a Muslim horseman who saw him, they then were already not interested in having too many Jews in Jerusalem, he killed him, he trampled him with his horse, and then he died there. He's buried in Tzfas. How he got from Yerushalayim to Tzfas and why he would have been taken from Yerushalayim to Tzfas, I don't know. But he's buried in Tzfas, and that's the, I guess, the story of the person.
1075 to 1141.
1075. I said there are different variant things. At least one of the sources says he was 50 years old at the time that he died, which would make him a very young man at the time. But there are different, I've seen a different Svarim, different, but all around, somewhere around the year 1100,
they place him.
I don't know that we know he studied under the Rif, but okay. The Sefer, the story of the Sefer, is the story of the Khuzars. Now, the Khuzars were a people that converted to Judaism. According to the introduction to the Sefer, approximately 400 years before Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, although there are some today who say it had to be a little less than 400 years. It's interesting, we had someone speak here about a year ago who had an audio-visual presentation of evidence that the Khuzars existed. I have an audio CD of it somewhere downstairs, and when I find it, I only have one, but anybody who wants to listen to it is welcome to. The Khuzars converted as a group to Yiddishkeit. Their melech, their king, was a chayker, was a philosopher, and had a dream in which he was told Kavanasecha Ritsuya, Umaisecha Einam Ritsuyim. Your intentions are good, but you don't got it right. And for that, he set out to investigate all of the religions of the world and came upon this chaver who taught him about Judaism, and he embraced Judaism. And that is what happened. Now, there is a tremendous debate, and no one knows for certain, if Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi wrote this 400 years later, so from what did he transcribe the discussion of the Melech HaKuzar with the others? Where did he get the precise discussion? So there is a debate over this. There's a sefer called the Sefer HaMuna, one of the philosophical svarim, in which this sefer is attributed to Rabbi Yitzhak HaSangari. If you look at the introduction page to most of them, it says that Rabbi Yitzhak HaSangari left notes. He was the chaver. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid then elaborated and created the Sefer HaKuzari from those notes. There was a Sefer Ma'ar Einayim, which was one of the great controversial books. It was like the, if I can say it without meaning to offend anybody, he was the Slifkin of his time. A brilliant person who wrote things that were very hotly debated. And in Ma'ar Einayim, he writes that the Kuzari is an extraordinary sefer, everyone should learn it, but Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi made it up. He didn't have any notes, he made it all up. Nobody knows if it's so. I did find that the Ramban, in his drushes in Teres Hashem Tamima, when he quotes the Kuzari, he quotes two possibilities. He says either Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi wrote it, or it was written from Rabbi Yitzhak HaSangari, as it says in the Sefer Amunah. So it's not really of great concern to us which way is the truth of the matter. I just wanted to mention the fact that it's debatable. That the Kuzari's existence seems to be something that I all agree, whether this is actually a report of the original conversation or Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi's writing a book is how he would have imagined the conversation taking place. So that is that's the debate.
Where were the Kuzari's settled?
I think the Kuzars were in the area in, like, west of Russia, between what today is Poland and Russia. I believe it was in that area.
It's one of
Eastern Turkey?
Yes.
Of Eastern Turkey. Okay, then that would make sense. So, that would place the time, etc. Now, what is the book about, and why am I starting from the Maimar HaShlishi? Usually we start a book from the beginning. So the answer to that is that this book is a book of machshava. There's very little in here that says do this. Like, don't get angry. If you feel angry, hold your breath for 3 minutes and you'll feel better. It's not what it says here. This is generally a book that deals with philosophical discussions of Yiddishkeit. Sefer HaMachshava deals with the way the world is set up rather than telling you what to do. It's divided. The first chapter talks about the mahus of God, understanding God. The second maimer deals with different holy aspects, including Eretz Yisrael. And as a matter of fact, it's hard for you and I to imagine. There's a piece about the dateline here in the Kuzari. In the second maimer, it's hard for people to understand why astronomy, what that has to do with philosophy. We know that the philosophers held that astronomy was very much a part of philosophy. So someday when we get to the Maimar HaSheni, we'll deal with it. The Maimar HaShlishi deals with Mahus HaOdam, deals with the human being. And it's just more appropriate to learn and easier to learn about understanding people than understanding God. It's a little hard to understand God, very hard to understand people too, but it's at least more, it talks to us more. There are many Purushim on the Kuzari. Anybody who ever wrote a book on the Kuzari did it L'Shem Shemayim. Because you just don't sell too many copies. I don't imagine a Sfarim store would have a dozen copies if I went in for it. It's not something that's, the Kuzari is one of those classic Sfarim that every library has to have. But even here, where most of the Sfarim in the bookshelves are already all ripped, you see that the Kuzari is pretty decent shape. It's not often used more than to look things up that are quoted by others. And that's because in addition to the fact that it's philosophical, the Hebrew is a medieval Hebrew. It's a Hebrew, and when I say medieval, I don't mean inferior. In America, medieval is inferior. Anything old is inferior. I mean it's a poetic Hebrew, and it's not the Hebrew we're used to. And therefore, I find it sometimes very difficult to get exactly each word and what is meant by each word. Of course, we're gonna do our best and try to understand the basic theme. Now, there was a Pirush on the Kuzari written by Rabbi David HaKohen. Now, Rabbi David Cohen is a very popular name for rabbis. The Rabbi David HaKohen was the Nazir of Eretz Yisrael. He has a story unto himself. Rav Kook traveled from Eretz Yisrael to the Asifa that was supposed to take place on the eve of World War I. There was supposed to be Knesiyah Gedolah in Switzerland. And Rav Kook left Eretz Yisrael to Switzerland. And World War I broke out. The Knesiyah never took place. And Rav Kook spent 2 years in Switzerland. He couldn't fly back. Switzerland and Turkey were then technically at war. And he couldn't come back to Eretz Yisrael. One of the things he did at that time was to be Makariv, a college professor, a genius of a person, Rav David HaKohen. He had a different name, but he took on the name HaKohen afterwards. And he brought him back. He came back to Eretz Yisrael. He was the Nazir. When we grew up, people knew there's a Nazir in Eretz Yisrael. He was the Nazir of Yerushalayim. He's the father of Rav Yashav Kohen, who's today a Rav in Yaffa. And the father-in-law of Rav Goren, of Shlomo Goren. And he wrote a Pirush on the Kuzari. In his Pirush, he calls the Maimer HaShlishi the Maimer HaMusari. He calls that the Musar book. The Musar book of the Kuzari is the Maimer HaShlishi. Now, I hope I don't scare you away by saying it's a Musar book, but that's why we're choosing to start from the Maimer HaShlishi. The Maimer HaShlishi throws you straight, and you have to know the style is that it jumps between long speeches and exchanges. It goes back and forth, and your copies, you really can't see it until you turn to the fourth side. You see Beis Gimel Dalet, you see there starts to be a discussion. Here in the beginning, it sounds like it is a speech and a presentation. And here he presents Amar HaChaver, Minig HaOved Etzleinu. Minig here doesn't mean like it means in our Hebrew, Minig custom. But Minig HaOved Etzleinu means the characteristics of a Oved Hashem. What are the characteristics of someone who serves God? Now here he addresses the question, which there are differences of opinion among all the religions, Lahavdil, and even among Chachmei Yisrael, there's a difference of opinion as to how a frum yid, the Chacham B'Yisrael, relates to the pleasures of Olam Hazeh. How do we relate to a good piece of steak or a good piece of dessert, you know, a gooey chocolate cake? What do we say? We're standing there. Does God want us to eat it or God doesn't want us to eat it? It's hard to know that the Bezen Shalmala is trying to figure out if we should eat it or not. Assuming there's no Bittul Torah involved, etc. So does God, well, if it's not good for you, I don't know if he wants you to eat it. But to a certain degree, the question is whether the pleasures of Olam Hazeh are... What is the intention? There are Mamari Chazal on both sides. There's Tysus brings a Maimer he quotes from Chazal, very strong lashon. He says, "Acha ta mispal shiichnis Torah l'teich reishecha, having mispal shelo yichnisu madonim l'teich meyecha." Before you daven that Torah should enter your brain, daven that fancy foods should not enter your stomach. So that's a condemnation of the pleasures of this world. On the other hand, there's Yerushalmi that's often quoted, that says that if a person sees, and Tainis, if a person sees pleasurable food in this world and doesn't enjoy it, so the Rabbanu Shalom says, why didn't you enjoy this pleasurable food? So it seems to be a contradiction, to a certain degree it is. And here the Chaver will try to draw a line in answering it. So let's learn the first part of the Maimer HaShlishi and then try to understand what he's saying. Omar HaChaver, Minig HaOved Etzleinu, the custom of HaOved Hashem in Judaism, Einenu Nigzar Min HaOlam, is not to be cut away from the pleasures of this world. Shalo Yiyah Lamasa Olav V'Yimas HaChayim Shei Metoves HaBoyrei, How can, if God gave something good, how can a person be disgusted with life or the pleasures of this world? When a person has pleasure in this world, he remembers God's kindness. Right, he's going to talk about the idea of whether a person is supposed to desire life in this world or have a tshuka to go to the Olam HaEmes. Now, we all know that everyone wants to live. Reb Shlomo Kluger, in his first tzavar, Reb Shlomo Kluger was a prolific writer. He wrote books, Keminyan Shlomo. Shlomo is Gematria 375. They say he wrote 375 books. We don't have all of them. He wrote many tzavois. His first tzavar he wrote right before his 50th birthday. And in it he writes, since I'm coming to my 50th birthday, and the Torah says that when Yovel comes, you go free, he says, Ulai Eske, maybe I'll be fortunate and God will free my soul from my body for the Yovel, and therefore I'm writing a tzavar. He had no such luck. He lived into his 70s. And his last tzavar is one of the strangest tzavars. He commands that they give skila to his body afterwards, and that they say Kaddish for 12 months, and then it's Ibiyah for 13 months after his death. But that's a story unto itself. But the point is that there is such an idea of a chacham not being afraid of death. So he's saying, what do you mean? God blesses us. How could it be? Aval oyev ha'olam v'arichas yamin. Oyev Hashem loves this world and a long life. Nishu mekana makna oisai olam haba. Because this world is a tool in which a person is kind of the next world. And whatever a person can add toiv in this world comes closer to the next world. But a person would wish that he could reach the madrega of chanoich. If a person could reach an ideal madrega like Chanech and Eliyahu, ulahafnois achi yisyached lecheveres hamalachim, and reach a point where he gets rid of his physical needs and he's similar to angels, v'loyeh mishtaymen biyichidus ubebedidus, and he would not set himself apart to be alone, avaleim tzivatoi, but they're his way, v'yishtaymen b'moleyom. So to solve the contradiction between some chazals that say pleasures of this world are good and life is good, and other chazals which talk negatively about the pleasures of the world, he says this. He says the ideal is to be like Eliyahu Navi and Chanoich, to purify one's guf until he has no interest in this world, and no interest in the pleasures of the world. And there's such an ideal, to be distant from the pleasures of the world. And however, for the normal person, that's not a derech in avodas Hashem. So he finds sort of this middle ground, and he says, "Uklmai eila tiaruya habedidus hashleima." For chanoich and Eliyahu, for perfect people, bedidus is appropriate. We know that the Gra de Vilna Gaon cut himself off from people to a great degree. And that's for someone who's on that madrega. Ach misavim hamoves v'nei she'igiyu al atachlis. There is such a darga, as I mentioned from Shlomo Kluger, people who are not a fear of death. V'nei she'igiyu al atachlis asher ein achrei ha'madrega she'ikuvu tesefta. Because they feel they've accomplished this world. Now we're going to continue with this on Thursday, but the bottom line of what he's saying, and he's going to elaborate on it, is that there's an ideal, and there's the world in which a person finds himself. In general, it's an important notion that there's an ideal. There's an ideal never to bottle a minute. Every person has to recognize that. Now, if a person himself thinks he's on the madrega and feels guilty every time he bottles a moment, he's not going to do well. But that a person can recognize that there's an ideal, and then there's the level that's shayach to him, that's the theme that the Kuzari has here. So on the one hand, we enjoy the pleasures of this world. But on the other hand, we know that that the ideal person, the tzaddik, is not that way. If you were to walk down the street and see Shmuel Birnbaum waiting online in the ice cream store for a soft ice cream, and then ask for sprinkles on the ice cream, you would think it's a very strange sight. Why is it strange? You know, Shmuel Birnbaum could like ice cream. But a certain ideal, there's a certain level where it doesn't happen. In his note, David Akayin writes about the Petira of Rav Kook, the calmness with which he met death, how he told, Rav Shir Yashav Kahn was there, he told him, I'm about to die, you're a Kayin, please walk out. You know, like a person says, you know, I need an Ali, I'm a Chiv, could the Kayin please walk out? So he said, you know, I'm about to die, please step out. He says, when he died, they sang Shir HaShirim. They said, V'inayim Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, it says Shir HaShirim. So this is the idea, the theme of this Ois Aleph. And there's still another piece to it, which I guess we'll continue with on Thursday, God willing.